to the Bethel Township Board of Trustees, June 24th, 2025 workshop meeting. Call to order time is 6 o'clock. You guys got it? Maybe there's one here. Mrs. Fortunato, the roll, please. This one does Brian.
Administrator Smith?
Present.
Trustee Van Haren?
Yep.
Fire Chief Cahill?
Present.
Trustee Reese?
Present.
Trustee Dipp?
Here.
And myself, here.
Okay. First up is public comments on the agenda. Do we have any?
One, Jenny Hodge.
Kidding.
Jenny Hodge, 5310, are you ready? I just wanted to give a couple points about the one agenda item for the potential pickleball courts, possible shelter at Friendship Park. It's number, I think, number 17 on the agenda. Understand there's grants available. One has been submitted to help with the cost. I just wanted to add that I've been playing pickleball for a couple years now, and I can say it's one of the friendliest, most inclusive sports I've ever participated in. In my opinion, it's what draws people to the sport. Bethel should really seriously pursue putting in a few courts for the community. Nearly every housing development in the area has courts. And if we want to keep fighting to keep Bethel rural, we have to also think about providing something for the community to do. We don't have a swimming pool, tennis courts, walking trails, you know, a lot of stuff that other places have. Don't necessarily want all that, but we do have to have a place for community residents to have, you know, a picnic, a graduation party, something. It would be nice. We already own the land, Friendship Park. I just think we should use it to maximum capacity. I also have realtor friends who tell me that people that move here from out of state, that's one of the things they ask about. You know, where's the closest pickleball courts? It's an inexpensive, inclusive sport that not only promotes community, but also keeping people healthy and social. I play on an average 3 times a week, and every single time that I play at Helke Park in Vandalia or at Huber Heights courts across from Wayne High School, there are a minimum of 2 courts of Bethel kids. Bethel high school age kids are filling 2 courts, at least eight kids, and different kids all the time. So, I mean, if we had courts here in the township, that could potentially keep them from having to drive to Vandalia, to Wayne, you know, potentially getting a wreck, whatever. I mean, wouldn't it be nice as a parent if you knew your kids were right in the township playing pickleball versus going down the road? So also, Wayne High School now has a high school pickleball team, and that's going to be coming, I'm sure, to the smaller schools as they get more and more. And it's a very inexpensive sport for schools to offer, but that would give them extra playing places. I know they are putting tennis courts in, I guess, or have them already at the school. I don't know.
They had them, and they're talking about it, but I don't know. It's not in any immediate plan that I know of.
But I know there were some questions last time. There's many different options. You can go with like a painted blacktop or concrete. Most of them are blacktop, which actually works out the best. You can cover all of it. You can cover half of it. I looked at, there's a new housing development, kind of, if you go to New Carlisle across from where like the John Deere dealership used to be, there's a housing development there. They have one that's similar to what we had talked about. Theirs is half covered, half open. So it's half shelter, half pickleball court. And they have enough for 2 courts. It's bring your own net, which is what I would recommend. And I have yet to, I wanted to take pictures to share with you. I've yet to be able to go over there that it's not being used. I mean, they've had graduation parties, retirement party. I mean, it's used all the time.
They have two at Smith, don't they, on 571?
Yeah. They just put two of them in, yeah, New Carlisle, too. Yeah. They just repurposed a tennis court and the two pickleball courts. But anyway, I wouldn't get too hung up. I guess there were questions last time about, like, if it was covered, if there's picnic tables, stuff like that. I guess I would just hope that you would vote to have to, you know, have the budget there, and I would be willing to offer that. I mean, I'll poll the community to see, like, what people want. I had mentioned the putting a cover over it, and I talked to a couple other pickleball people, because there's no other one in the area. I mean, if you had a light rain or something, it would be nice to play. Plus, it would double as a shelter for a graduation party. I just thought it would be more user-friendly. But also, with that grant, the one that they applied for, you probably wouldn't get awarded enough money, maybe, to do that. So maybe you just go with just the courts and add the shelter later. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. There's so many different ways to go. I personally, like I say, I'd be willing to put something in the newsletter, whatever, and poll people who play pickleball and see what the community wants, instead of just a couple people deciding. But anyway, I just wanted to encourage that if you consider voting for that, I think it'd be wise to, we could get 75% of it paid for, that would be huge.
I thought the grant was for $30,000.
It's 32,000 is the max, so yeah, it will not cover
not
that much of
that's
it.
That's not 75%. No. No way.
There is a possibility, well, there's a possibility you won't even get that, first of all, but there's a possibility, there was like five counties that have not used any money in a while, and they said if they don't use it this year, if nobody applies, they will divvy that up among other projects, and but there's still a chance we won't even get any. You know,
yeah.
There's a chance, but there's also a chance we won't, because that was for our county. The 32,000 is countywide, so we could be up against other applicants, and I don't know if they all award it to all to one, or they divide it. It didn't really say how that worked.
My whole career, I negotiate cost, so I'm willing to negotiate cost and get the best deal I can. But, I mean, I would start out simple. I mean, just painted courts on blacktop, and you could do that easily.
You mentioned something about people who play that bringing their own nets. Is this something that's done? I don't play, so I don't know very much about any of it, but Is that a pretty heavy duty cost for somebody to bring their own net or to buy their own net?
I mean, it's like $100 for a net, and everybody has their own paddles. The reason I say that is because Helke and the bigger parks we go to, they have permanent
net,
like,
fixtures.
Nets, mm-hmm. And New Carlisle too. That's definitely nicer,
mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking of the maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, like, we don't need more stuff as a township to take care of when it
gets. How much work is it to maintain a net? Like, wouldn't you just put it up and then take it down in the winter?
Well, those cables, people will, I mean, Helke, I don't know how it happens, but I'll get there and the cable, you know, the net's down, and
mm-hmm.
You can't just simply stretch the cable. They got to bring somebody out,
mm-hmm.
Put, you know, maybe put parts on it, whatever, I don't know. It's got like a cable system,
mm-hmm.
A pulley system,
mm-hmm.
Those nets. I mean, I don't know. But there are always nets that need attention there.
Mm.
And I don't know that we don't. Now, if they get used all the time and stuff, that's something you could always add. I'm just saying, if you could only get the grant for $30,000, you could just do a blacktop area, paint it, put the lines down, and let people bring their own nets.
So would a sagging net be better than
no
mm-hmm. net at all? I mean, I play pickleball, obviously not as much as you, but I don't think that whatever we put over there is going to be professional grade. Like, there's no tournament going on there. So even if it sagged a little bit, wouldn't that still be better than people having to bring their own, I feel like that's just another hurdle that would make people not want to use it.
I don't know. What I would see happening, and I would be willing to, like, if those courts are open, I would just buy a net and leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets damaged, I'll throw it away. Next person can donate one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's $100.
Or the township can buy one and have people pick it up.
I'm just saying.
I mean, we did have a problem with our baseball field. Bases got stolen.
Yeah.
And then that allows you to, like, you know, somebody wants to use it for a graduation party, whatever. You don't have those big poles from the net.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can set up tables, whatever, do whatever they want, have a party there. They can put tents on it.
If it's covered, yeah, that would be nice.
I mean, even people have those 10x10 shelters. If you don't have it covered, people bring a couple 10x10 shelters.
Mm-hmm.
They'd use it for a graduation party. I mean, it would get used by the community.
Mm-hmm.
I know it would.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about putting a shelter up there for, you know, the last 15 months I've been here. We've mentioned it.
Talking about putting a shelter up there for the
last
15
years.
They're expensive.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
So that's it.
Thank you. Okay, new business administration, we have none. Zoning, property nuisances. Kim, I think you wanted to talk about the court cases.
Okay. I have exhausted myself over the last 15, 16 months here with the number of cases, the Ross Road firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not through the adjudication on that. The health department hasn't responded. They're good about sending an email when we send an email to them, but they have no status on what's going on. It's, again, in adjudication. And down the road here, where we've got the vehicles and so forth, there's 11 different properties here in this township. We still have the mess with the boat storage facility and them violating our zoning code with the buffer that's there that
mm-hmm.
we turned in to Chris a year ago. No, that's not resolved. We've got the gentleman running a business, a recreational business there on 201. We've notified him that he can't operate the business there. He's still operating it. You go down 201, you look to the right, and you can see a full-fledged baseball conditioning camp there on
where
his property, just past Studebaker on the right, second, third house on the right. All the buildings that he didn't get permits
for. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, if the people living there hear constant bing, bing, bing from balls and the bats and so forth, and he's not zoned for that.
Mm-hmm.
So my thinking is that we need to move forward with the attorney that we voted on to move these things out of Chris's hands at the county and into somebody else's hands who's willing to move forward on getting these things settled so that we can get back the safety on Ross Road taken care of, the health and safety on the other end of 40 and down the other end of this way of 40 as soon as we can do it, because they're not doing it. I mean, again, we've had 3 months now of Ross Road being in adjudication.
Mm-hmm.
We've had 3 months of the health department down here on the southern end of 40 being at
the eastern side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on the south side where everybody can see it. It's.
It was on the north side.
North side, you're right.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm in my mind.
I know.
Here,
I'm just trying to get the house right.
Right.
Yeah,
so
it.
Yeah, it's the house with all the junk.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that one is, we've turned that into the health department, and I had Cody check on that one as well. And again, they have not heard anything from the prosecuting attorney's office on their request to take them to court. So if we move forward with our request, then civilly, as we talked about doing with hiring this attorney, then we move forward and it's taken out of their hands and we're in court and we can fix these problems that we
sounds
have just
good to me. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Well, good.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get to.
Yeah, I thought that's what we were going to use.
Yeah,
it's
hard to do
but
it.
But there's 11 of them. There's 11 of them. And I'm.
There's
I'm,
probably 30 of them.
30,
but those are
yeah,
the worst
those are
ones.
Those are the worst ones. Yeah.
So when we go to court and if we do win the case, they pay the
We can put all the costs and so forth on their property tax, and if they, we have to foot them first, okay?
Right.
But you know, the cleanup costs and so forth, the building on Ross, we're going to have to clean that up and haul it out. But it's going to be put on the taxes of that property, and then once it's sold, or we, you know, again, the county will come after them for those taxes if they're not paid, and then they force a tax sale, we get our money back. But again, we have to do something because Ross
yep.
Road is.
No, I'm okay. I was just asking okay. to make
yeah.
sure,
okay.
just to clarify.
Yep. Yeah,
okay. Okay. So next up, you want to talk
wait,
about?
I want to talk about the fines.
The fee schedule. Yeah.
Okay. Real quick on that point, though. As you mentioned, there's 11 of them right now that, mm-hmm. that are active with the prosecutor. Do we want to, in terms of direction for me, do you want me to collect all 11 and just do a whole batch over to the new
I would
attorney?
Like to do one first to see how it goes. Okay. I feel like 11, we're committing a lot of dollars. I know it extends the time, but I would say pick Ross Road and go forth and make it happen. And maybe even the second one on 40 because that is bad and
so
has been
So can we
bad.
Just do two?
Yeah, but I don't want to do 11 and all of a sudden just
that's,
be you're overwhelmed please. Or you
just
know.
Do can we just do
the do Ross and 40
yeah awesome. I mean it okay. might be can you find out from him is it more cost effective to go forth with more of them because he's only in court I mean maybe he does them all at the same time
they'll file all
know.
At the same time okay what will happen is he'll send a court notice saying you've got XYZ or he'll send a notice to the property owner saying you've got XYZ amount of time to comply. If you don't, we're proceeding to municipal court
okay.
at that point or civil court. And then again, you're going to incur these costs. The costs will be broken down. So they'll have to respond within a certain period of time. And that again puts the ball back in their court to do what they're supposed to do. If they don't, then he files in court. And of course, if he does them all at the same time, each case has a separate fee, but his hourly rate doing them all at one time would probably
could
be cheaper.
Right.
I agree, but except for that if they all go through and all of a sudden we are forced
to clean up
11 properties
certain,
in a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. that's not going to be good either.
Well,
so,
we're going to have a big expense on Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take Ross and Student Baker. Ross and 40. Those are the two eyesores that have been there forever.
Yeah.
And let's just try it.
Yeah.
And then we can see how that goes. Mm-hmm. And it's in my opinion. You guys are already stretched thin. Let's not add 11 cases all at once.
And then the other thing is the fee structure on these nuisance properties where let's take the other side of 40, where, you know, that's we've sent probably 10 letters to the other side of 40. Now we can start at the point where if she doesn't comply, we can say we're going to fine you XYZ number of dollars. And we have to determine what that is. And I had Cody call around to figure out what other areas are charging for this now that we can charge for it. And let's discuss that.
Well, so here's what I found is that because it is so new, there's not been a whole lot of
nobody's done
on,
it.
On that.
I know.
So here's my recommendation. Let me take this also to the attorney and see kind of where they, if there's somebody outside of our general region that has done this elsewhere in Ohio. And also, since we're already doing the zoning code update, take that, go to the zoning code update meetings, speak with them, and make that part of the implementation process of the new zoning code. So what do we think about that process?
Yeah.
And doing it with them.
Well, so we need an all other bucket then if we're going to define fees, but the ORC says that it's not more than $500 for each offense, and the fine is collected by filing a civil action in the Court of Common Pleas.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you guys last time when I talked to the attorney, mm-hmm. I asked if we could do that ourselves to save money, and he said yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend that he do the first one, and that'll get us a template.
Yes.
But I don't. Do we need a fee schedule, or do we just say
$500? No, $500 is good enough, because at that point, when you get to that point where we're at now, where I'm at now, with let's just take the boat storage facility, we've got, I don't know how many letters in that file,
yeah.
okay?
We've already got a lot invested.
Yeah. So,
I agree.
So we send one more letter, and then we send this saying, okay, you're in violation now, it's going to cost you $500. The problem is that we need to figure out how much it's going to cost us to file. Like, let's just say if you're in eviction court, different counties have different fee schedules as well. Like if I file an eviction in Montgomery County, it's $160. If I go to Vandalia, it's $180. So you got to figure out what court we're going to have to go into and how much that's going to cost us as well if we do it ourselves. If an attorney does it, it's a blank fee across the board. So he may have a set fee, that, and it may be more than $500.
No, he still has to pay that court fee the same as we would, only now we're paying him to do it.
Yes, but...
So it costs more for him to do it.
Okay, it will cost more for him to do it, but no, it doesn't. If the attorney, I can only speak on what I know, which is the evictions. If I file an eviction myself in Vandalia Municipal Court, it costs me $150. The writ is another $75. Okay, if I have an attorney do that, it's $700. He's paying the same fee I'm paying.
Right.
But
plus
he's
you're
paying,
paying
for his
time.
Hours. Right. So if we file this through an attorney, it's going to be more.
I understand. And that's why I was saying that my recommendation is let him do one and he will give us that template. Mm-hmm. And then we can do it ourselves from there forward.
Okay.
But I'm my question was, do we need a fee schedule or do we just say we're going to do the $500?
The $500 you'll do, but you'll never offset your costs for it. You're always going to pay more when you. It's always going to cost you more.
But we can't have a fine of more than $500.
I know
that's
that,
the rule.
But we need to be prepared for that.
But each day the violation continues is another separate offense. So if they let it go, it's $500.
And we're never going to recoup
that.
So yeah, let's set it at a more reasonable amount because. I'm not trying to gouge anybody. I want us to not cover our costs on this, but $500 a day, I feel like the court is going to say that's egregious. Even though it's allowed, they're at $25,000, and then we're never going to, you know, or however long it's going to be.
But if you don't make it enough, then the person who's getting it is going to say, oh, this
which
is just
exactly,
another,
well,
you know, I'm just going to ignore
let's
it.
Start it at like $250, and then we can always raise it.
$250 a day?
That seems a little more. It is a day. That's how it's written, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever so. Fee, it is a day, right? Every day thereafter.
So, are you in agreement with that? I mean, I
don't know. I don't see the. I'm not sure I see the purpose of lowering it because I want somebody to say, oh my gosh, $500 a day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to clean this up because mm-hmm. I can't afford that.
It's kind of like a builder's penalty if you don't meet your contract deadline. You get hit with, okay, it's $1,000 a day if you miss your deadline to complete your project.
Right.
So.
I don't know. I mean,
I can see what Beth is saying as far as the cost being so high that the person couldn't comply. But in the case of the businesses down here where we've been dealing with their violations for so long, I mean, they just throw them in the trash and don't even respond.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't do something, I mean, maybe in the resolution you can say we could fine you up to an additional $500 per day and use that as a discretionary thing. If it's a regular, maybe it's a senior citizen who can't.
Yeah, I don't think that. I thought
can
it was.
You do that?
I don't think I haven't looked at the code in a while. I thought it was establish a fee and then it's a subsequent fee.
It's a civil fine of not more than $500 for each offense. So first of all, I don't think we need a resolution.
Okay.
Because
this
it says
ORC.
We can do it. I mean, if we want to change it, yeah.
It.
And the second thing it says is each day the violation continues from the date of a judgment granting relief under this section shall constitute a separate offense.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So if they don't fix it, every day is another. I mean, it doesn't mean we can't make some deal with them if, mm-hmm. you know, and say, you
I'm
know,
okay
we'll,
with
we'll
it.
Take.
I just want to clear them out.
But I think if we put something in the zoning code, it ought to just reference this so we
yeah,
don't have to
absolutely.
Keep changing the zoning code.
Mm-hmm.
We
That's
just
fine.
Say up to or not more than or whatever the ORC says
right.
is probably.
And
then
I'm
point
okay
to
with
this.
However amount of money you want to do, I don't, that's not. I just want some teeth so that we can, I'm so tired of taking the calls from people saying,
yeah.
well, you told me this.
Well, why don't we let the zoning board discuss it? I mean, what about a different rate for a business versus a homeowner?
I would just do the flat out 500. If you guys don't want to go lower, do the flat out 500. I feel like if we're going to, that's just one more complicated step than the person who is running his business on will say, well, I really am a homeowner, so you should only charge me two. I mean, you know, I just...
Well, I'm just thinking because she mentioned the boat business.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
you know, that's
leave
throwing
it at
them in the garbage.
And just go. Leave it at 500. Let's just see how it works. We can always change it.
Okay. I'm good.
Well, I mean, it could be...
All my things have been...
It could be discretionary every time, right?
No, I don't think that we want to be discretionary. I think we want to say, this is it. We don't want to say, well, I like Camlet. She's tried. Mm-hmm. She's only 100.
Well, I didn't say base it on that.
I know.
Because you know I don't operate that way.
But that's what discretionary means.
Okay, so we'll leave it
so
at... No, it could be like, we've been nagging this guy for 18 months, mm-hmm. so it's going to be higher than the guy we've only been nagging for a year.
Yeah.
That's my kind of discretionary. It doesn't matter who it
but
is.
It's after the summary court judgment. So therefore,
right.
that 18 months, you could then argue, well, Cody was busy. So that's why you only gave me a year, gave somebody else 18 months. I mean,
okay,
let's just
fine.
Keep it at 500 and across the board.
Okay, so then the zoning board doesn't have anything to discuss.
No, we
just
implement
go with the LRC.
That. Yeah, we just implement that.
Put
it in there. So you will take
that.
There. Yeah, and so... Now, when you send our letters, which we're going to have to go back through and send all the letters out, you'll have to reference this code again so that we're within compliance as far as trying to force the issue.
Yep, absolutely.
You can include this right in the letter. It's pretty short.
It's, not a large section, for sure.
Okay, I'm good.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
That
absolutely.
Was the fee schedule. So next up is the fire. So... Ben has some new hires. Do you want to tell us anything about them?
Yep. So up to now, or up to this point, I think we've hired six for right now. Had two interviews yesterday. Have one coming up, I think, next week. And then I've personally hand-delivered applications to about four or five other people. So really trying to get staffing fixed as soon as we can. Of those new hires... out of the six that have started, I think all but one are full-time at another department elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So they come with experience. It's not as much of a, there's a little bit of a learning curve for the training aspect of it, because a lot of the places that they are coming from, they have hydrants every 100 feet. So we don't have them out here. So. You know, when it comes to drafting and stuff like that, it's a little bit of a learning curve for them, but we're working that out, and so far we've been doing pretty good.
So do you have more names for me for next Tuesday then?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll give them to you, I promise.
Okay.
You should have...
I have two right now.
Two, yeah. I'm still waiting for the hire packets for two more.
Okay.
I gave it to them yesterday after their interview. One should probably have it done maybe in a week, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know about the other.
So they won't make the newsletter then, they'll make the next newsletter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Next up is Road Department, West Charleston.
I don't know if you guys have been out there. He's doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
They have the ditches cleaned out. It is widened. In the sense that all the debris is gone. He didn't actually widen the ditch, but he took all the stuff out. And he's pulled back the inside bank somewhat. It's probably not enough to make the county's requirement. They're not measuring it. It's just, and if you're digging a new ditch that they have these requirements, it's not going to get there. There's just not enough room to do it. The bank on the inside of the road is pretty steep, and he's putting rocks down and it'll hold, but it's a $150,000 project. He was gonna realign that ditch to give it the grade that it needs. So the curve, he has put one culvert under. He's gonna on Wednesday night to accommodate the vet, who was not at all happy last Wednesday. He's gonna close road again, put the next culvert underneath, and there are two, because the exit for the farmer had a tile underneath, and in talking to Chris, he would have had to replace that tile as well or put two culverts under. He thought it was a wash in terms of the money, so that's what he's doing. There's a third culvert that was underneath the road that is failing in our ditch line on the east side of the road. So if you're going down after the first curve, before you get to the second curve, that he hasn't gotten to yet, but he's talked to the farmer. He's like, oh yeah, that's been failing for years. I know that it's there. There's a big sinkhole and there's like a smaller sinkhole. So he's gonna have to take that out, as long as we're working, take that out, look at what it is, probably put a catch basin in, connect the tile on both sides, and it'll keep going. But it is flowing a lot of water. And so he hasn't regraded the ditch on the east side yet. That is next. But he's doing a great job.
Okay.
Glad you liked it.
So do we need to appropriate money, you're saying? Because
it's $8,000 more.
Well, we already did that. We passed the resolution.
But this bill is more.
I don't know what it's going to be. And I asked him if there was, because there is going to be another catch basin, like the work to do it. I don't know what it is. I asked Chris for that, and he doesn't have it. He's had, with that storm last Wednesday, he had a contract in Beaver Creek that he was working on, and the road next to it collapsed. So he's been going back and forth. So I know he's swamped. So we probably do need appropriate money. I don't have the number, so.
I'm just judging.
Well, we might just need to approve it, though.
Right, that's it.
Because we did the thing at fund level, right?
So we don't have to do it. We already did the resolution for the initial improvement that we made.
Right, okay? The extra $8,000.
Yeah, the extra $8,000 is what.
And we passed a resolution for that. But we should have plenty. I don't know how much we appropriated last year for road repairs, but there should be some
money. We have enough money in the budget.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, you can look.
I thought that's what I asked you. Do we need to appropriate it?
No, I don't think we do. I mean, we can look at road repairs.
I misunderstood
but she can
what
pull
you said.
Okay, that's fine.
Funds, mm-hmm. So,
I just needed to know if we need a resolution on next Tuesdays, but we don't need
one
at this point.
We should not need a supplemental appropriation. Like, this is probably a $5,000 to $7,000 increase at the most, I guess.
So this is on top of the $8,000?
Because of the...
I understand. I'm just asking. So do we need a resolution next week for that, or can that
not,
wait?
I don't have a number from him, so I don't know. So,
yeah, because
I'll hold off then.
If we did... Yeah. I had a reduction in the amount.
Right.
Right.
So, okay, all right.
Well,
let me know when.
So I just want to make sure that it gets on the agenda at the right time.
No, I will. And I did ask him for the month, but he said he has no time because he's fixing this road that went down.
Okay, no problem. Just let me know when. Okay, so next up is the fiscal office. So we do have one set of meeting minutes that I sent out, I don't know, a couple days after the 6-3 meeting. Didn't hear anything back from that. We didn't even have any for that one. So everybody's good with that, right? That'll be on Tuesdays to approve, and I'll try to do tonight's as well and get that out if we can do it. Okay, next up is the budget. So Rhonda has put together some numbers and sent them all to everybody. They are available in the fiscal office for anybody in the public who wants to review or inspect them. And she also sent a spreadsheet as well that shows who we pay out of the funds, which is pretty helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't been through all of it. I went through some of it. The only thing I saw in there that was obvious to me was the CentOS. We don't need a line for CentOS anymore because we've gotten rid of them. So that can be, then that should be in two places, in the general and the one of the fire, 2194 probably. So those can go. But that was, I mean, the rest of it, I'm okay with. It's not a true 5-year plan budget yet. We didn't have time. I was gonna create user-friendly budgets.
So I have a few things.
Didn't get to that.
So if we are planning on doing some park improvements, I would think that would go under capital outlay other in the general fund. We put in 50 this year and 50 next year. When does that grant come in? That's next year grant, isn't it?
November is when they decide.
Okay,
I don't know when
the
money's
got to be for next. They're not sending the money out in December 1st.
Right, and the deal is we have to pay for it first.
Yeah.
So
why
yeah.
wouldn't we put that appropriation in here now?
Well, we should. We should.
I would do it. And, I know. And make that.
And this is 2026 though.
Right. I know.
So
we
if
only
we
have
do
50,000
it.
We only 50,000 yeah. it. Like if I mean if that is something that we think we want to do, let's put it in now. We don't have to do a supplemental. I mean, I know this is just the budget. This is just the spreadsheet. But come March when we do the appropriations, it will be there.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but that would give us only 100,000 if we did 25 and 26. And how much you were saying something around two?
Well, we have a resolution on the agenda tonight to appropriate the entire amount, which is what we have to do for the grant. Mm-hmm. They have to have this by July 1st. So, I did the entire amount. It doesn't mean we'll spend that much, but you have to show them that we're committed to the amount in order to get the grant.
But then that should be in our budget. That's a big chunk. So that.
But is it this year or next year?
It's 2026, because we're doing the budget for 2026. We're not going to spend that till 2026. This goes in the budget so that next March, when we're sitting here, you're sitting here, you will see, oh, look, we budgeted 206,000. We will know it's for the park because that's not a big thing, but the budget is approximately what we think we're going to be spending in the next year, and that's how we base our appropriations on. This is not a hard and fast document, like the budget. It's
no,
just
I understand,
a worksheet.
I understand.
So
I was going to, the reason I didn't mention that is because that it will be in the 2025 amounts.
But we're spending it
in
2026.
Possibly.
You're not encumbering
maybe
it.
Maybe not.
No, you're not getting that money in 20. You're not going to get that money. If they're going to award it in November.
No, I understand. But the deal is that even with the grant, we have to put out the money first.
Absolutely.
And
the resolution is fine. But then we're going to be spending it in 26. So it needs to be there.
Okay. So we created a cost center specifically for the project, because that's one of the things that the grant also asked for, to show that you're not only committing the money, but it's specifically for this project. So we would put it in that 3810.
Mm-hmm.
So the capital outlay, but 3810 cost center.
So by putting it in, by budgeting for it, we're committing to it.
Budgeting for it, we realize that it's there, and we recognize that we need to appropriate for it in March.
Mm-hmm.
You've already passed a resolution. If we pass it tonight,
mm-hmm.
that says we've got the money, it's sitting there, and we have appropriated it. But next year is another year,
right.
And we're going to appropriate it again.
I was hoping to be
and
done with this by this year.
Well,
it's not going to happen.
No. Do you have anticipated costs? Because there will be an increase for sure in 2026.
Well, I can't do that for the grant. I have to put in what the estimate is now.
But for our budget,
we can.
And here's the other thing. We're not just putting in a picnic shelter. I mean,
mm-hmm.
first of all, I don't agree with the joint shelter pickleball
mm-hmm.
court. I'd rather have a shelter,
mm-hmm.
tables,
mm-hmm.
pickleball court.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think we should be budgeting for, let's hire somebody to do an overall plan for our park. Shelter is a great idea. Pickleball is a great idea. How about a walking path? Great idea. Maybe improve our parking. I don't know what all the things are, but before we plop these things down at $250,000, let's budget some funds, and we have $50,000 in there now. We can do it this year. Where are we going to put these? Where's the best location for future park developments? You know, like maybe.
Well, I agree. We need to do that. That was supposed to be part of the 5-year plan, which was our off-site meeting that we are not having until July. So
okay,
that's why none of it's been done.
But we could bring somebody in.
I don't want to pay somebody to do that.
Not
until we have an idea. Well, we need to have an idea of what we want there, which means we have to discuss it first.
Well, we're spending $200,000 to put something that you've decided you want.
I didn't decide that. This is a proposal.
Then let's discuss. What other things do we want to see there? What other things do we think?
I thought we'd do that at the July meeting, that would be part of the 5-year plan.
That's fine.
But it won't make the budget for this time.
And that's
well,
fine.
Well, the meeting took till July to get set up, so
yeah. Add an extra.
We're
going to
do that back. And
we've got 50,000 right now in capital outlay.
I mean, as Beth says, this is a working document.
Okay.
So it can be changed.
Yeah, it can be
it's
changed.
Just, you know,
just giving
because
you
we don't have the
5-year
plan yet.
Well, why can't we just? I mean, we know what you've anticipated. Why can't we just put that in as our line item, budget item for 2026? And if we get 30-some thousand from the
right.
grant, then that offsets some of the cost,
yep.
and we go out for bid on what it's actually going to cost.
Yeah, we can do that, and I'm okay with putting it in next year's. If you know, I like I said,
I mean,
planning on this year, but
and then we can look at
okay
doing separate, at, like Beth is saying, or like you're saying, you convert the one space to both spaces, or do two spaces side by side. You know, or close to what we already have, the
right,
restroom
right.
facilities and so forth, and do one pickleball court and then one shelter.
So one pickleball court doesn't help anybody.
It doesn't help anybody.
You have to have two.
You have to have two.
And there's...
Well, I did notice that at Smith, they do have two.
Yeah.
it's, but, I mean, I don't... But that's a little bit larger community than what we have as well, so...
But that park is not ginormous.
No. So would we, I guess it would come down to how much space we actually need for two courts and also how much space we would need for the shelter.
Right. So the reason I proposed the dual purpose is, so first of all, this kind of started as a meeting room because we need
a
decent sized meeting room. You guys know I went and looked at the church because I thought that would be ready-made and a bargain compared to building a new one.
Right.
So, but you guys don't like that. So if we build an enclosed shelter over there, which is another possibility I want to talk about at the 5-year plan,
mm-hmm.
is that is going to be big money,
mm-hmm.
but we can rent it out
mm-hmm.
and, you know, for parties.
Offset
or
some of the costs.
Yeah. To, I mean, over time, it could make some money.
Mm-hmm.
But so this kind of became just a kickoff to having a place that was shaded over there, because if you go over there, there's
no
we got the
yet.
Playground, but the parents don't have really a good place to sit there. And
no, I took the boys over. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
So
I thought the shelter would be a good thing for that. And if it can serve a dual purpose as a pickleball court, fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Because then more people could use it.
Right.
So
I'm not against that.
The point of having it as a dual purpose.
I'm not against that. I think that we do need some sort of a community type setting facility for things like graduation and picnics and, you know, even senior type things, you know, like they used to have one of these senior communities down on Taylorsville Road there, or Chambersburg at right there before you get. It was a senior center where they used to play cards every Wednesday for the seniors. You could go down there. Now they don't do that anymore.
They play at the Y.
They play at the Y now.
Huber Heights
so,
plays at the
yeah.
Y. Yeah.
But that was what that was. It was a senior center, and they had a lot of things that you could do there as a senior before the Y was built. Because I know because my title agency that I used for years was right beside it. But, you know, we don't have any of that around here.
Right, and that's another thing that an enclosed shelter could also be used for is some kind of
yeah.
card games or
yeah.
which is another reason I like the church because it has room for both
mm-hmm.
So
it's just I mean I don't know, I think 200 if we put that into the budget for 2026.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Did you have other things?
Were you
Beth,
okay
did?
With that Beth?
That's fine, put it into the budget 200. Mm-hmm. keep the 50, put it in for 250. Then if we decide we need to do a plan, which I am willing to pay for a plan. I would like to have a professional look at this and look at the grade of the land, look at what's possible, look at everything, because this is not a cheap investment that we're doing, and we want it to last. We want it to be here for the next 20 years. So let's not do something like, oh man, we should put that 4 feet over or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're paying for is that professionalism. So I would advocate leaving the $50,000 in there, which we haven't spent anything from it. I don't see the appropriations year to date, but we appropriated 50 this year, and not to my knowledge have we spent anything from that anyway. So it just rolls over. So keep the 50, add the 206 or whatever it is that we need. And it's just a budget. We can appropriate by March. We'll have a better feel for it.
Okay, did you have other things?
Yeah, so I went through this. I thought it looked really good. Ben and Cody and Rhonda, I appreciate it. And Kathy, if you helped, I know it's a lot of work to put this together, and I really do appreciate it. Did you, yeah, it looks like you got that. Police. Yeah, I think the police contract goes up
5%.
4.33.
That sounds familiar because that's what I asked Rhonda about. For, is that right, Kathy? The police contract goes up 4.33.
Or is it
533?
Yeah, 533. Do you know?
The police contract.
Yeah, the sheriff.
The sheriff's contract.
I don't think we know until we get the.
No. They signed a three-year contract last year. Let me look. I mean, it's fine. It's just the budget. They'll send us
533. I think.
Yeah, I think it was two. So we're good with 3.5. Then that's fine.
There's other things that are probably going to need to be up, but I haven't had time to look at them. Like the printing of the, if we continue the newsletter, it's, well, we might have enough in there for that. It's going up.
How much are we putting in for paving next year? I feel like we did pretty minimal paving this year, and we probably need to see if we can get some of those older roads.
We talked about that, and we did, this year, we did almost 2 miles, correct, Cody? If I'm not mistaken, didn't we do almost two? We did more than what we did.
I think it's closer to a mile and a half.
Mile and a half?
Yeah.
We did, Dayton, what is that called? New Carlisle Road?
New Carlisle Road.
Between 201 and Dayton Brandt, and then just the start of it, right?
Correct, on the other side of it.
But we came in lower this year by a lot.
Yes,
than what we
for
did those, last year.
For that, I think we're think the bit right around 170.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty good for a mile and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it initially had come in.
And that includes striping.
Do what?
That includes the striping.
I believe so. Yeah.
That's and
the
berming.
And the
berming. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, because originally came in at like just over 200, but there's a clerical error on their part, so it ended up coming down quite a bit.
Fantastic.
But I would like to do a little more next year. I think we talked about that, and I was planning on $250,000 next year to try to, because I want to reseal this parking lot here around us, and I know that's going to be at least $45,000-$50,000 of that.
Right. I don't have the road thing in.
Well, there's $50,000 in the general fund that says repaving agreement. But I know we didn't pay anything out of the general last year. So I think that's just carried over. I mean, this budget, a lot of it is carried over just like we did last year.
But 21, 22, 23, 24, those should be accurate numbers. So those are actual numbers. So, and 25... Did you guys adjust any of 25's budget numbers when you were doing this? Like looking at like, hey, we're halfway through. This is really where it should be.
That's essentially what happened is we looked at it and said halfway through, let's roughly double it. And
we'll
be at the
okay.
end.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
So.
Yeah. No, I don't have any red flags. I appreciate it all. Did you get the increase for the firefighters? Is it in there?
Kind of scheduled it for 26 or
yeah for 26
for,
yeah,
yeah
yeah yeah
to prep
okay.
for that yeah
fantastic
or
and so you looked
with
Rhonda and the funds are there
yeah.
yes
awesome
okay. So the other thing I forgot about is also text my gov is still in here that
take that out yeah,
yeah.
We're done with them
okay looks fantastic
some other things I can't find them now.
Thank you, guys. It's a lot of work.
Absolutely.
Enjoyed my conversation with you. I know it was a bit.
Yeah.
It was a lot, but you know.
Yep.
It made me feel a whole lot more comfortable.
Right.
After I had the discussion with you,
Kathy. What's this report? I've never seen this report look like this before.
So Rhonda did this to help explain what the uses were. Because
this is not a report.
No,
this is,
it's something that she updated.
Okay. All right, that's fine. That's great.
So okay. it's pretty useful to know. It probably needs to be purpose-driven rather than the actual vendor, because sometimes we don't know what the vendors mean.
But I think it's a great start.
It's a great start, yep. Definitely.
Okay.
And we've already talked about it, about refining it as time goes by. We did this last year, me and Kathy, but we were down to the wire and didn't document anything. We were just looking stuff up and trying to figure out.
But it's nice when you look at it and you can see,
yes.
This amount went for where.
Yes.
I
to
like
what?
It.
Yeah, I do too. And then I had a couple other things. There's one thing was the Social Security for the road fund it's only $2,000, so it doesn't really matter, but something's wrong there this year because we've spent $649. And I talked to Ron about this, I don't know, probably a month ago, 2 months ago. I don't know when, but the only thing the road guys should have Social Security for is the cell phone reimbursement. Mm-hmm. And it was like $2 or $3, and then all of a sudden, 1 month, it was just went way up. So something's not right with that number.
Maybe it's just a typo.
So she's got that to do. And then the other question I had was, what life insurance, maybe Ben, you can answer this. Life insurance for the firefighters. We have Aflac that we pay, and then we pay a company called Car Insurance. Is that also
like CARR?
CARR, yes.
Yeah.
Which was confusing.
Yeah.
Right?
Life insurance, but it's car insurance. No, honestly, I have no idea what we're paying for in that at all.
Okay.
I just know that is a yearly bill that we've kept up on it, and it's paying for something. I'm not sure what though.
So we probably I would like to know what the difference is between those and why we have two
Aflac
of them.
Aflac is disability.
Yeah, and don't you the firefighters pay that, correct?
Yeah,
not that Aflac. There's an Aflac life insurance.
Right.
On top of what they pay for the Aflac duct thing,
right?
If you're out of work
and
you want to pay bills or that kind of stuff.
So, but isn't
they pay that? But
isn't that still their payment individually if they want that life insurance? No. Okay. So we pay for that. Okay. All right. So
I mean, I'm sure it's something different, but I just want to understand what those are.
I just thought it was. I thought it was the disability insurance when I saw it. So if it's different, then it should probably be clarified.
They have to be in the line of duty. Because I just paid it and I was reading it a little bit because I'd never paid that.
So that
before.
May
That's
be
a once a year thing. That we
yeah,
pay
that may
guests.
Be the state life insurance policy that we're required to carry on them in case they are
likely. But I tell you what, when I'm in next, I'll call them. I'll call both actually and see what we're actually paying for.
Okay. So one of them we added since I've become a trustee, and that was. It was supposed to be life insurance plus that ability to do the telemed was part of it. But I don't know what the other one is, or if we're duplicating is the question,
well
right?
Me, so.
Aflac pays out $50,000.
Ah.
I think that has the telemed. I'm guessing.
So that's medical then? That's not the life insurance.
No. It's an option that they can. They have to pay it themselves,
yeah.
But it was a cheap, because we don't have any health insurance for them.
Yeah.
It was a cheap alternative that they could reach a doctor through a telemed situation. Well, it was part of the plan.
Because the one life insurance should be $250,000 per occurrence, right?
Yeah.
If they're killed in the line of duty, that we are
that
required to pay.
Car,
that must be the car.
That would not be.
I'll call them, and I'll try to figure out what exactly
out, yeah.
we're paying for out of those.
And then the other question I had for the fire was the capital outlay.
Mm-hmm.
There's $84,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is this towards the new engine? Like, what is that?
Basically, whatever we're going to need. So, probably towards the new engine, because that's going to be our next big purchase, likely.
Okay.
Yep.
So we didn't spend it last year, or we haven't spent it this year. Last year, that number in there from 2024 was kind of a mistake. That was paying for the RPC membership. So we fixed that. So that's why you don't see any money spent this year. But does it just roll over, or shouldn't it stack up every year?
Yeah. The capital outlay is basically just putting that money into the savings account.
But we have to appropriate it every year. Otherwise, it doesn't just automatically roll over. Like, the money's there. Mm-hmm. But if we have not said, okay, last year we appropriated 50, we're going to keep that 50, we're going to add 50 more, we're going to be appropriate this year 100. We have to appropriate it, because otherwise the slate wipes clean essentially in March.
Right, so that's my question, is why is it still 84 instead of 84 times 2? And then the next year, plus 84, plus 84, plus 84.
Because we obviously did not appropriate the next 84.
We didn't do it last year.
Right, we didn't do it.
Yeah. So, but then with the capital outlay, okay, with the $30,000 in hose, the $14,000 in helmets, that's a capital expense. Or is
we
that
paid
all those were?
Those
were
ARPA
money. Okay,
all right.
All
right.
Yeah. Okay, great.
But what I'm saying is, so if you're doing a true budget, right, if you're saving money for something, that's still got to be a line item
right.
in there. And it should be the total. Somehow, either you have two lines, the one that says savings and one that says this year,
so
or it includes everything.
You can do, we could do, and Rhonda can do,
mm-hmm.
a separate fund. But you'll have to talk to the auditor, because I'm not sure that's how they'd like you to do it. But you can do, like, a fire truck fund. And then every year we...
budget back
but
for
we every year in that fire department fund
you
we put $50,000 in it, we make it, we appropriate that, and then that fund, since we didn't spend out of it, it doesn't go away. But every line item that we've appropriated this year in whatever fire fund, you know, tools, if we appropriated $5,000 and at the end of the year we've used $3,000, that $2,000 doesn't carry over unless we decide it carries over.
I understand, and that's why I'm asking why it's 84 every time. And I'm not asking for a separate fund. I'm just saying, this in 2026, it seems like it should be 84 plus 84 plus 84.
Well,
we didn't spend it. We didn't spend it, so therefore it should carry over or drop down.
Right. So it should be included in that number.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just asking,
but
because I didn't understand that.
It wasn't.
Right. And yeah, there's some other questions, but we have two Medicare accounts for fire, which I didn't understand.
That I was also going to ask Rhonda about that, because I saw there's, so out of the 2192 is the 4.9, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Out of that one, there's two Medicare, which money is coming out of both of those line items. I'm not sure why there's two of them.
Right. One of them is administrative and one is charged to the fire department.
Right.
But,
I don't know why
and it may not, I mean, yeah. It just seems like it would be cleaner if it was one,
right.
if that's
and
the
then
reason.
There was one.
But that, that's okay, we don't.
And then in 2194, there was another couple things that were doubled up, which there were line items for, but one we're spending like $1,000 out of it, out of the 6,000, and the other one is, or something like that, I can't remember. It was,
it's.
Numbers-wise, I don't know how the exact numbers in front of me.
It was 8,000, well, spent wasn't that much. We've got two appropriated for 8,000, and then the second one is 4,500, it looks like. I can't read, there's no lines on here. So that was just a question. And I've got some similar little questions like that, but I can take those to Rhonda when she gets back. You talked about disability, and there was nothing in disability for them. There's $500 have been appropriated the last couple of years, but we haven't spent anything. So, why would we appropriate? Do we need that, or is that in one of the other buckets?
I don't know. I didn't ask that question, but if it's there and $500 doesn't seem like it's a lot of money for
nothing,
a disability claim, so.
But we've never spent it out of that bucket, so I'm just saying, in an effort to start cleaning it up,
maybe we should eliminate
it. Yeah. But I mean, it's okay if it's in here. And you know, there's a lot of little questions like that. But definitely CentOS and TextMyGov can go, and then we can fix this, you know, park thing.
Do you have anything else, Beth?
I do not.
Okay.
I already went through this with them on the phone for 35, 40 minutes, so.
Okay.
So I'm good.
Okay. I'll just take some notes for the minutes. Okay, got this. Okay, so next up is healthcare insurance. So this was the switch to Aetna. How is that going? Because we have to 30-day notice, right, to switch.
She asked me to make sure everybody did that fire form.
Okay.
And everybody did.
Okay.
So I don't know.
I'll just say everybody did the form fire, so that should
right.
be, because I know I did it, I know Eric did it, so.
Okay.
I did it.
So everybody's done.
Yeah.
So then you just give them notice and we're done with that?
I don't know if Rhonda gave them notice or not.
Well, I thought we had to get another
Molly
quote.
Takes care of it.
Yeah, so we probably need to talk to SIBO.
Yeah, I think she did, because that was the day she said, can you make sure everybody's done? And I did, and then I told her everybody was done, and I think, I don't know if she...
I talked to Molly about the form fire thing, and she said, I'm you're good, we're on it, we're moving forward. So whatever moving forward is, I'm sure she'll reach
out.
Good.
So we probably need to stay on her because we're getting close to a deadline.
Okay.
Well, you don't want to have it drop either, you know?
No, but it takes 30-day notice. If we're going to do it by July, August 1st.
Check in with her tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be good. Perfect. Okay. Kathy, let me take the notes to check with SIBO. Okay, next up is no trustee items, so we're at old business. So administration, so the budget we're going to do at the retreat, right, the five-year thing. Walnut Street dead end.
So still waiting to hear from them on that. Side note on that, I was told at some point that we would need a legal description of Walnut Street.
Yeah.
I reached out to the Miami County Engineers. They do not have legal descriptions
of
the public right-of-way.
Call the map department.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be Andy Smith. He's no longer there, but he was amazing. I don't know who it is, but they will have a legal description of that road.
Who was that?
Andy Smith.
He's not there
anymore.
He's
not there anymore.
Don't worry about it. He's
okay.
Not there. But
the one that actually told me that was Mark Storms. I think he's from the tax map.
Oh, darn it. He's the one who said he doesn't have it?
Yeah.
Well, I have a legal description of West Charleston Road in detail for the end of it.
Really?
Because we had so many issues with the easement there. So.
Yeah, because I reached out to the county engineer. They sent me over
to the map department.
Mark, who I'm 99% sure is with the map department.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, we don't keep legal descriptions of public right of way. And then he referred me back to Miami County Engineer, who referred me back to the prosecutor's office. So that's where we stand with that. I can follow back
so
up.
So it's not a right of way, it's a street.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But
and
the right of way along
is,
the street.
Right.
The right of way
okay.
along the road.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Huh.
So I can follow up with them and try to get more information about what they may have.
See if they have a plat map of Brandt. That would be probably
okay.
the place to start.
I could definitely do that.
I have a really old one.
The other
yeah,
thing.
That's what he's looking for is a really
I
old
have
one.
A really old one.
Okay.
I'll bring it over to you tomorrow.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's going to be of any help, but I have, in my personal records, I have a really, really old one.
Somebody at the county has to have that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what, when he told me that,
mm-hmm.
I kind of was like,
mm-hmm.
what, you have to have a record of how, that doesn't make any sense to me, just off my head.
What about the recorder's office? Would they have legal descriptions?
All of that should be in the county auditors, the mapping, and the recorder's office, because it's a public record, and they're required to keep
I'd ask him for a plat map of Brandt and see what
yeah.
he says.
Okay.
Because that all should have the road descriptions on it.
The other thing is, obviously, traditionally, we've had some difficulties getting things from the prosecutor's office. So what I will do is I will call Chris, talk to him, and Jessica as well, and let them know that we are going to move some of the zoning cases out of that arena and into another one, and then make this top priority that this is the next thing we need. Because it seems like, in my experience, if I give one thing at a time, I get better results than if I say I've got a list of five things, I need those back from you. Case in point being the Jurgensen's contract for the road paving. That was the sole focus. It came from county engineers, went over to Chris's office. I had it within a couple of days. Mm-hmm. So, well, a couple of weeks, I should say.
But when I did it last year, I had it like within 24, 48 hours for us to review and sign off. Yeah, because it's required. I mean, all I have.
Right, it's, yeah.
They know they have to get that back, but we have sent each property over one deal at a time and no response. I mean.
Well,
so,
and I mean, there's the fire helmet waiver that I'm still waiting on.
Oh my God.
I mean,
I didn't even know about that.
So.
Well, I think it's he probably assigned some importance to them too, because we have to sign the paving contract.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
exactly.
They can pave,
exactly.
So.
Exactly, because that has to go to Sandra, and if it's not there within so many days, then we're out. We don't get our paving. So.
Okay, so back to Walnut Street.
Yes.
Do what you can, because they are starting to develop. I mean, it's okay. Coming our way.
I will put that top of the list. And
okay, thanks.
We're going to get it figured out.
Okay, and then archive social, that's on hold, so nothing new there. Okay, zoning, we got up the computer.
So it is up, systems running.
Ooh,
I do not know a whole lot about operating that particular system, and the county does not have, it's new to the county also.
No tutorial?
I talked to the IT director who set me up with the access and all that. He sent me over a bunch of tutorials, so I'm going to watch those and try to get accustomed to it and figure out how to implement all of our maps into it and get it completely functional, but we are in it. I mean, it's here. It's ready to go.
Awesome.
Excellent. Good.
MVRPC offers training now and then,
okay.
And also the OTA had a session this morning.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what level, like if it's beginner or intermediate, but as you mentioned before, we can always go back and watch the video.
Yep.
So
okay.
I think that was this morning. Okay, updates to the zoning resolution text. How's that going?
Good. Where did we leave off last week? I think Article 5. So we're going through, I organized the list of all the questions, recommendations, suggestions chronologically. So starting with Article 1 in the zoning resolution, going through the bottom. We are at Article 5, so that's the first article in the zoning resolution that actually deals with a particular zoning district. So there's a lot more intricacies that we're talking about there, you know, lot sizes, minimum frontage, that sort of thing. So we are starting with those. That is where I anticipate the bulk of the work to be. So that was the 12th we had that meeting. We'll be meeting again this coming Thursday, the 26th. That's going to be a pretty long day because we have a BZA meeting, a zoning commission meeting, and then the update meeting. But I'm working with the folks to make sure that I'm going to have attendance for all of those. Looking good so far, but just confirming everything. And then we'll keep going. The schedule's out, so it should be every 2 weeks. Pretty much every Thursday we'll be meeting on things, unless there's, you know, at the 12th I had 6 or 7 folks there, so just barely enough to have quorum for the meeting. So obviously we want to make sure we have that, but as long as we have that, we'll be going every other week unless something else comes up.
So the quorum is for the zoning commission? Is that what the quorum needs to be for?
Well, so it is technically a zoning commission meeting because they are the ones that make the recommendations to the trustees. But at the same time, I've got both zoning boards there. So I'm not 100% sure what the best legal way to that is.
I would say definitely make sure you have a quorum because you don't want anybody to come back and say this was done in a vacuum.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing too is there's no action necessarily being taken other than passing minutes. And if I don't have for sure a quorum, we won't pass any minutes. We won't make any actions. It'll just be, you know, we'll start running through the list and making suggestions and we can revisit things and do it that way. So I don't know. How has it been done in the past as far as what counts as a quorum? I don't know.
I've only been here.
Right. I mean, we're all,
so,
we're all
kind of
trying to work through it at the speed we're at. So,
so I think this is maybe the first time.
Have to go back and look
done.
At those minutes,
mm-hmm.
I guess, to see what happens.
See what actually. So, and I can do that too, and just make sure that we're following what we should be following.
Okay.
Yeah, everything is going well on that end. No hiccups so far.
Okay, next up is the fire department. Did you have any just any of them?
Well, the training program for the new recruits, obviously everybody who started, they're going to get their two basic fire and EMS packets. So they have to complete those to make sure that they are at the minimum requirement that we hold.
I thought that was the program that you were thinking about starting to get like high school kids interested and
so I actually emailed this school. I think it was the superintendent or the principal stroke. It was one that you tagged me in the email for that one kid. I emailed them and basically said when school starts up at the beginning of the year, I'd like to meet with some of the seniors who would be interested in fire and EMS, and then trying to figure out who's really interested versus, I just want to do something for fun, you know, stuff like that. So, because that, some people like doing this just for the t-shirt, and I really like doing it. I need people who want to do this because
right.
people depend on this, right? So,
what about the JVS or,
they
have a program there. So
mm-hmm.
are we enthralled in?
Not really,
mm-hmm.
in fairness. But that's something, I've talked to one of the lieutenants about trying to get somebody at like those, the days where like everybody comes in and shows what department.
Show and tell.
Mm-hmm. Show and tell, basically. Yeah, thank you. So basically, I'm trying to get us intertwined in that, so that way at least we're getting our name out there. Right now, most of the applicants that we're getting is word of mouth. People are like, Beth is actually a cool place to work. Let's go there. Okay, cool. You know, and then once they get here, usually most people like to stay because it is a nice place to work. You know, we've got really decent equipment. We're pretty laid back. We do some fun stuff. And, you know, most of our calls that we do have, out of the 600 that we do roughly a year, 500 of them are pretty serious, you know, where it's like...
They get a lot of experience.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a different way of living, especially like the full-time folks that have come recently. It's a totally different world inner city versus out here. You know, it makes you, the way I've always described Bethel is that it makes you better, more well-rounded, because you have to be self-reliant because you have 10 minutes before somebody else shows up. So you have to be solid at your job or else you're behind the eight ball. So. But yeah, that's working on that. As soon as school starts, I'll probably get with probably a bunch of kids, see what the deal is. Maybe start some safety days back up, where you know, bring the kids out on a weekend day and say, hey, you're going to do an 8 to 12 hour shift with us. You're going to do exactly what we do. We'll have you sign this waiver saying you won't sue us if something happens. You know, stuff like that. Still waiting on the expired helmets, obviously. Surplus sales, I'm trying to get released.
The medic.
The medic, the hose, all of it. I'm trying to get released for the site for GovDeals so I can actually get that stuff on there and get it sold. Or try to get it sold.
So what does that mean? I think we have to have a list
mm-hmm.
and do a resolution before you can put it on GovDeals.
Okay.
So we need those, whatever you're putting on there and the
minimum.
Yeah, I can pull an old resolution and show you what was in there.
Okay, please. Thank you.
And so just a question on the training.
Yeah.
So do we have money in the budget for putting those kids?
So I'm thinking of the one that I just did, right, for next year.
Yeah.
It's going to be about $10,000.
Okay.
And out of that money, here in the last couple of years, we really haven't spent a whole lot of that money. The only thing we've really been spending it on is like the online training program that we have, Cleveland State, which is a pretty decent program for getting good CEs and actually re-upping your cards every 3 years or so. We would have money in that, and I still haven't gotten with the state about room and board if we were to send them to the state prior to that. So I haven't gotten with them there, but I did get the prices of the classes. Mm-hmm. I just haven't got the room and board part, if they even charge for it. I don't even know. So.
And then the kids from the school, if they come on the weekend, do we pay them?
Nope.
At that time, they're just...
No, it'd be basically a ride-along.
Okay.
Kind of like a job shadowing.
Gotcha.
This is how we do things. This is why we do things. Typically, when I was doing the safety days in the past, we would, unfortunately for the people who were working, it was an all-day event. So they came in roughly 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. They left at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. And through that whole time, we train, go on call. Train, go on call. Train. And then by the end of the day, everybody's like,
okay.
You know,
okay, gotcha.
Just wore out. So we keep them busy. Obviously, we do the same thing we would do normally on a regular shift. We do the whole kit and caboodle. So if they've never cleaned a toilet before, they're going to clean a toilet. If they're off the floors, they're gonna, you know, just learning stuff that we would do every day, right? Because in fairness, it is our house every 6 days, yep. 3 days, whatever day you work. So.
Wow. Yeah.
Trying to make it as realistic for them as possible. We even have spare gear that we put them in. So we make it as realistic as we can possibly make it without
but
getting
no
hurt.
Pay. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Is that it for the fire things?
Yeah, that's all I got, sorry.
Nothing on Elizabeth Township, no
news. No, I think I made him mad.
Okay. Road department. Okay. The seasonal worker. Have we looked into that?
Yes. So I had Robert compile me a list of the priority areas to do tree trimming work over township roads. He got that over to me, and there are approximately 6 3/4 mile section. There's probably 10 to 12 quarter to half mile sections of road on average that he recommended that be cut back. Mm-hmm. He said we cut anywhere from 10 to 17 feet off of the road, mm-hmm. cut all that back, and then about 3 feet off the road on the sides. So I am in the process of getting quotes for that work to be done from tree trimming companies. I don't have any numbers at the moment, but I am working on that. And also working, so one of the quotes said asked if we were going to provide traffic control for that, or if they were going to have to contract that out.
We're not. Unless you're going to have Robert and Eric out there, because you're going to need two people at least in either direction.
Well, and if they're going to be cutting... My thought process was, if we're going to have folks, they're going to need the road closed. Mm-hmm. If they're going to be cutting over both lanes of traffic, which Robert and Eric could do, because then it's just a matter of setting trucks and cones out and
closing
the road while they do that. So that was my thought process.
Yeah, no, I mean, if they can do it, that's fine. But they need to sign a liability waiver that says we're not responsible for anything that would happen, and
right.
I mean, they'll be out there the whole time, but yeah.
It
seems like it'd be good to have Robert and Eric there too, mm-hmm. for consulting.
Yeah.
In case.
Yeah, because they know.
So they
exactly.
can keep an eye on what they want done and make sure it gets done the way they.
Yeah, because the way he wrote the list up is it's very similar to the way we did the roads, right? Is it's 7600 Agenbrod to 7842. This section is going to need here, and here. I agree with your point. It's probably good to have them out there anyway. So as soon as I get quotes on that.
But our road mower's down too, and Robert doesn't know when it's coming back.
It came back today. So it came back this afternoon.
Great.
Good.
Yeah, because I've had a couple of calls on some areas in the township that are becoming overgrown,
mm-hmm.
and I've had to be like, hey, the PTO pump went out on it. It's getting repaired, but it is back today. So I asked them to make that a priority the rest of the week, especially with it being as hot as it is, to try to get some of these things that have now fallen behind because it's been out of service,
mm-hmm.
back on the top of the list and get some of them taken care of. So, and I know Josh said that somewhere on Pisgah, and one of the stop signs is getting overgrown. So
yeah.
I want to make sure safety concerns are taken care of and
move on from there.
Go back on to mm-hmm. on a schedule.
If you do get somebody contracted, just let us know. That way we can have an idea that, hey,
yes.
If we have to shut the road down, we
yep.
know how to get around it if we need to.
So yep.
If you don't mind.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, how's our no parking signs coming?
Talked with Robert about that also, because I hadn't heard anything from him in a while. He told me that the county, once we ask them to do something, they go out and make a determination, and if they determine we need more signs, they just do it. They don't
mm-hmm.
let us know.
Yeah, and I guess that's what happened on Gibson and Lisa and all that, because when that call was made, these signs just appeared, and you know they're new.
Yeah.
So do we have enough signs now? Are we happy with what got
on? When I was over there at the last meeting, I told you there was at least five no parking signs that I counted on Gibson and Lisa in there. And now they're parking on the right-of-way area. So they're no longer parking on the street. They're parking, they've pulled up, on especially on Lisa, where the CDL company is.
Yep.
They're now pulling up right to the fence in the right of way, and that's their new parking zone.
So can we get them ticketed for that?
I don't know.
Well, so that's the other part.
We can ask the sheriff to go down there and just kindly ask them to move. But
mm-hmm.
obviously, that's in their world a very low priority.
Absolutely.
Well, and so that's I have talked to the sheriff back.
Mm-hmm.
When all this first came up and was like, hey, this is becoming a problem, can we increase patrols down there? What do you need from me as the township to say, hey, let's start some more enforcement? He said he would let his road guys know and try to continue or enhance enforcement, enhance people sitting down there. And,
mm-hmm.
So, I also got a call today from a resident that lives right in that area, and he said that they are not necessarily so much parking on the street now, but where that CDL company is, they're parking back in that parking lot now.
Right.
And leaving their trucks running
all night long.
So I told him, I guess he had been out at some point with
Marty and me.
Mm-hmm. So I told him if at some point that you notice they're being loud or they're doing whatever, let me know and I'll try to get out there and get it.
They are, and there's nothing, I mean, I've dealt with that. You got the call because I gave you your number.
Oh, well, that's what I'm here for.
Because
so.
it seems as though it starts Friday night, and they park in those facilities, and they leave those trucks on all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a constant hum, and, you know. And then, and during the week, he has to contend with the CDL school back and forward, and it's beep, 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 which they exceed the decimal limit.
Yep.
Now, I've talked to them about it, and they've said, you know, okay, we won't run it after 6, but then it doesn't for a couple weeks, and then they're back at it again until, especially this time of year, until it's pretty much dark. And it's like the baseball thing. Bing, bing, ding, 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 ding. I mean, you can't sit on, the poor man can't sit on his back porch because he's constantly dealing with trucks, you know? So I understand they're
oh, absolutely.
Upset, you know,
absolutely.
I get it because I was out there and it is loud.
So the running all night, though, can we not?
There is an ordinance. There is an ordinance which states that they cannot go past a certain period of time in the evening, and I believe it's
7 p.m.
7
yeah.
or 9 or something like that. And we went out and we actually served them with a notice. It was about this time last year, and like I said, they stopped for a while. And they were good. And then as soon as nobody's looking, they're right back at it again. So, you know, and that's the way it's going to be.
Well, hopefully maybe with some of the zoning enforcement fees and fines that we're able to levy, that will.
It's just like the other side on Gibson where, you know, where the building fell down that they were building, you know, that guy is taking the right of way again, and he's now put his equipment out there on Gibson that, you know, they sell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's right there.
What's the address on that?
It's right down from trim box on the left side.
Okay, I know that person. I'll tell them to get it off.
Yeah. So you know they need to figure that out. You know they can't do that. It's right across the street from the guy that has You know what?
Okay, I'll text him.
Okay, surplus equipment sales, make that part of the list. And the Friendship Park digital mapping, which is what Beth was talking about, we had put on hold till the retreat.
I mean, we can call about that if you want to. I mean, I don't, if you think that's something, I know that Andy was looking about it because he had a friend, but I mean, it is expensive, but you know, if you feel that it needs to be digitally mapped and we need to have a more concise plan about how we're going to lay out certain things that are there, maybe we should move forward with that. You know, I mean, we've allocated the money to spend in 2026 with development, but maybe we might want to allocate some more money and do a bigger project, you know, if we can get it.
I'm not in disagreement with that. I just thought we were going to talk about that. That's why it says on hold till the board retreat that we were going to talk about that as part of the 5-year plan.
That's fine.
I mean, we've only got another month now till the board retreat, so.
Okay.
So no real updates there. Okay. Health insurance, I put that on here twice, I guess. So let's see above. Skip that one. Okay, trustee items. Short-term rental lodging tax. Any updates?
So, short answer to the question, if zoning regulations are required before a tax can be imposed, I do not see anything in the ORC that allows townships to levy that tax that requires that they have registration or anything, or regulations, anything of that nature.
Not anything for Airbnbs? Correct. Because I know a lot of communities have them.
Well, they do. So that's the short answer, okay? Longer answer is, and I don't know how much you all are aware of this, there is a House Bill 161 that is going through right now. Mm-hmm. The OTA has requested that there be an amendment put in that bill that allows for rental registration of short-term rentals within the community because townships are not permitted to register short-term rentals outside of zoning requirements, like putting them in as a conditional use. So my recommendation is, if the board wants to put in a tax for that, that's totally fine. But as a part of the
House Bill 161.
Well, see where this goes. But also as a part of the zoning code update, they are not currently listed in there. So let's put them in there as a conditional use for R1 AAA. And then we have, because here's the problem, is if we don't have, and the OTA mentions this as well, if we don't know where they're at, if we don't have a way to register them, track them, do anything, it's going to be really hard to collect a tax.
Yeah, it's all on your honor kind
of
thing.
Right.
Yeah. So the thing about adding to the zoning resolution, so I'm not opposed to that, so don't take this away, but the 161 House bill has a lot of text around rules that things that we cannot do, and it's like limiting the numbers and all kinds of things around that, so we can put it in there and see what happens. I mean, we talked about doing this before about putting some sort of conditional use or something, but I mean it we can't limit the numbers, and there were some other things in there I can't remember right now, but a lot of it was around limiting. They don't want it restricted. That's what the bill basically has introduced, is to not have restrictions on Airbnb properties.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you...
But there's nothing in it about the tax. Mm-hmm. They're not suggesting to remove that, or
you're gonna have to remember. You're going to have to figure out what you're going to define as short-term as well. I mean, is short-term going to be 1 or 2 days? Is it going to be 30 days? Is it going to be... You're going to have to...
The ORC defines that already...
For municipalities, but not for townships.
I'm not sure it's for municipalities. I think it defines, well, I think in that bill it talked about it too. about how long it was, like not more than 30 days, and it was a pretty good time frame.
I also think there's a clause in there about if they have more than five rooms, it counts as a hotel versus less than that as a short-term rental. Yeah, so.
But the bills, that bill is probably an update to a bill, so we would just have to go back and figure out where in the ORC all that is.
I believe, so I read the analysis of it too from the LSC, and they said that another big part of that bill is the way it's written, the way the current lodging tax is written is it doesn't apply, it's not mandated to apply to short-term rentals. This bill fixes that and mandates that the lodging tax be applied to hotels, motels, and short-term rentals. So it throws that in that same bucket, from what I read in the analysis of it. Because as I understand it right now, a lot of short-term rentals are getting away with it because they're saying, oh, we're not a lodging facility, or however it's the current wording is.
Well, we would have to pass something too to say we're collecting
it. Correct. Yeah, we can do up to 3%, or you all can do up to 3%, because townships that are in a county that don't already have a lodging tax can do 6% to make up for that. Miami County has a lodging tax, so the board would be limited to 3%. But that's in the weeds. We can talk about that at a later date. But as far as implementing it here, that would be my recommendation, as we figure out a way to find out where they are before we try to impose a tax.
And find out where they are.
Well, we don't need to know where they are to impose the tax, though. We have to pass a resolution to impose the tax.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we don't list which ones they apply to. It's just a general.
Correct.
So.
Well, we have to agree to it and implement it in our ORC or in our zoning code, and then make sure it conforms.
I don't think
that
has to go in the zoning code.
You don't
think
so?
That's a separate resolution. We had asked about that before.
Yeah, I believe you can pass the tax just as a regular resolution and implement the tax. It's just a matter of finding the best way to collect so that it's not necessarily on the honor system like it would be currently.
Right.
Is the way I understand it. So that there's a mechanism so we know who to collect from.
But we get some as opposed to none even under the honor system.
But we can't limit the number, though. That was one of the big things that...
You can't limit the number of Airbnbs in your township.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, oh, we're only going to allow 10 people to do it, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but can you limit each individual person?
No, and that's why they wrote it, because it's becoming a business, which is what some people don't want, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that. I mean, that's not how they started, right? It wasn't meant to be like that. I'll look around and see if I can find a resolution, like a sample resolution, for maybe for Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I have time by then. I'll put that on my to-do. You know, like one that sets up that
3%. 3%. 3% and the county get up to 6. But if it's 6, then the county gets 3 and you get 3.
Well, the
or
county already
9?
Has 3.
Okay,
so we would be limited.
So the maximum would be 6.
Correct.
Okay. Next up is, let's see where we're at. Oh, the meeting room shelter. So we kind of already talked about this. Quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, I'm happy to pass these resolutions because I know it's critical to getting the grant, but I do not agree with a joint shelter pickleball court. I feel like we should do
separate.
So if we do separate, though, so let's talk about that a little bit, because I'm interested in why you wouldn't want it to be dual, because it would get more use, presumably, or could get more use.
So a shelter is only good if you're going to have some picnic tables in there. And then somebody's going to have to haul all those picnic tables out. And then we also can't chain those picnic tables down, so somebody doesn't move them or steal them. And that's one thing. I can't think that we can't build a slightly smaller shelter and a pickleball court. They could be next to each other. Again, if we'd done a master plan, we would know maybe where an ideal layout would be. Maybe you want to build a pickleball court that can double as a basketball court if we're not going to put up the net all the time. But I just think that by combining them with a shelter over a pickleball court, you're getting two entities that are not ideal for either one. You're kind of getting half-assed for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think a picnic, I think a shelter is great. We have literally talked about it for years
mm-hmm.
here. They are a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It adds to Robert and Eric's list to go over and check them every day, to empty the trash that's there. But I do think they would get used, and it would be nice to have some shade. I agree with Jenny. I think that the pickleball court would be used. I just don't see, like, what happens if somebody is in the shelter and then five people come to play pickleball? Like, are you going to have your picnic while they're playing pickleball? Like,
mm-hmm.
next, I mean, I don't know, or vice versa. So that's my feeling. I'm happy to vote for this because you did tell me that we're not committed to the design until we get the grant. But I think that we have the money. Most likely we have the space. That's not a huge park. I think it's 2 acres. But we don't have much other than the bathrooms and the swing set. So that is my 7 cents.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Would you be willing to increase the budget to allow for a separate facility?
Absolutely. I mean, there's other grants that we could look at.
For?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Or we could say this is where we're going to put some money for the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done a lot of improvements to that park. It's a now that we don't have Brant Sewer running
mm-hmm.
through the back of it,
mm-hmm.
it's much cleaner than it was.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we could improve the parking. I know you've talked about that.
Mm-hmm. I would like to see it separate too. I mean, in my reasoning is probably along the same lines because I know that if we don't have a cover on top of those courts and we're going to be using it as some place for people to have picnics and so forth with picnic tables and all that kind of stuff, you're going to gouge that blacktop. And when you gouge that blacktop, it's
That's
not suitable
yeah.
for playing anything at that
right.
point. So if, I mean, we're not using it... a different type of a surface. We're talking about blacktop, and blacktop during the summer is hot, and it,
mm-hmm.
it does get pretty soft. So I would like to have maybe a concrete shelter and
right.
you know, picnic tables underneath that, and then we could go back to, and I do like the basketball idea with one side of it being basketball court and a
yeah,
other side.
And then if
the
net is removable or we decide not to
right.
put the net up, then that's easy. You
yeah.
can play basketball there, or you can put up a pickleball court.
Right. So
it doesn't have to be regulation basketball size.
Right.
Like it's a pickup game.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see that. I could see that being a good thing for the community. And
so we originally did have a basketball court on one end,
mm-hmm.
not covered, and it added a lot to the cost.
It did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even paved.
Why?
Well, because the size. I mean. I think we did it as like a kind of half court, maybe not even half court.
Well, that's all we would need. Is
but yeah, it wouldn't be a whole.
I don't
whole
think you
court.
Need a regulation basketball court. Just a nice hoop with.
Yeah.
You could even do
yeah,
your two pickleball courts. Have one net fixed,
mm-hmm.
the other net removable,
mm-hmm.
and then have your basketball hoops on the one court,
yeah,
and then who's ever there first gets to play. But you can make a basketball court a pickleball court. I mean, they're there for a game of pickup. It's
mm-hmm.
not. Competition regulation.
Yeah, I like that idea myself. And you know, the other thing is, I mean, I know we have this lot here too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this lot that we have on the corner. I mean, maybe we could utilize
put a playground right there so the kids could run in traffic. No,
that's not what I meant.
25 foot.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah.
You take the kids out of it. I'm thinking maybe we could build, you know, a smaller. Community type center there, you know, is it? And so, down the road, I'm not saying it has to be now or whatever, but it would be
yeah the enclosed
yeah
version.
Enclosed part of it because
yeah.
it would be right there on the main drive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right across from a junkyard store, but
yeah.
but
no, there's definitely some options for that too.
Yes.
It's just what is it that would work there on a busy road?
Right. No kids there.
Right.
I mean,
no kids there. You don't even be chasing the ball
no.
into the.
No, but I mean, maybe we could dress it up to, you know, to have a little, like a pole barn. I'm not saying it's, when I say pole barn, metal barn, you know, you
yeah.
could do a metal barn, which is very, they're using them now for Dominion or half Dominions or whatever. I mean, they're very inexpensive to build, and we could put one that would be a good meeting facility there and off-street parking.
We could change our code to accept the shipping containers. Do that.
Okay,
there
now
we
you're
go.
Now
shipping
you're
containers.
Now
those
you're,
are cheap.
Yeah, now you're good.
Well, so we can look at other options. Like I said, it's not, I mean, the grant had to be in,
I know.
You know, last month, so
I know.
That was the design that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I got several people from the community to get input, and we've been talking a long time, so I didn't know you guys felt this way. But the thing about the picnic tables is there's a lot of shelters now where they do not supply anything because people bring their own chairs now.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
And then you have to worry about them walking away or being chained down.
Mm-hmm.
Grills are in the ground
mm-hmm.
and shovels chained to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't
so,
think we need a grill, but I think we at least need picnic tables.
Mm-hmm.
Put a...
Mm-hmm.
Eye bolt in the concrete,
mm-hmm.
chain those to it. Robert has the lock.
Mm-hmm.
Probably never going to unlock them, but
mm-hmm.
there they are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they do at the park district. That's
mm-hmm.
what they've got. And
most of them are concrete slabs, and they're bolted to the
And the concrete,
concrete.
Is going to be more than the pavement.
Yeah,
too,
I know,
so.
I know. I'm not saying
we shouldn't do that. I'm just saying that.
But we are
that
doing
this.
This
was based on.
We want this to live
for
40 years,
yeah.
50 years, so. All right, let's move on.
Okay, so I guess we're up to the resolutions then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read those, Mrs. Fortunato?
Yeah, the resolution number 25-06-050, a resolution authorizing the filing of a NatureWorks grant application.
Okay, we need a motion and a second, please.
A motion. I will second it.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, take the vote, please.
Trustee Kamadit?
Yes.
Trustee Julie Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Beth Van Haren?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 3-0.
Resolution number 25-06-051, a resolution authorizing a supplemental appropriation of $207,460 to the 2025 permanent appropriations to be used to construct a shelter and pickleball courts at Friendship Park.
Motion. Okay, do we have a motion? Thank you.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, vote please.
Trustee Kamadit?
Yes.
Trustee Julie Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Beth Van Haren?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0. Okay, an update on House Bill 113. This is to amend the annexation. The only thing new since the last time we met is there was opponent testimony given on June 11th. It was painful to watch. Very painful. But I just wanted to know that's out there. No new news for the last three items.
Is that the one where Core said we're Donning Township?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he said a lot of things about our township.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things about the way that it got done. And
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, of course he had the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That we turned down, you know, that they went and asked for annexation because we turned them down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was pretty painful. Okay, so other discussion topics. These got added based on things that I was told recently.
Mm-hmm.
The school called the transportation supervisor,
mm-hmm.
and they are going to put out some banners because there's always a shortage of bus drivers. So he asked about the property out here, the empty lot,
mm-hmm.
and I said, I'll check with you guys. I don't see a problem with it. I suggested to him to go with Big Mike's
mm-hmm.
because he'd get the cross street,
mm-hmm.
so he's probably going to do that. But if they don't let him, I told him I still would bring it here.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's okay with you guys. It's just a I think he said 3-foot by 6-foot, like
mm-hmm.
vinyl banner kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And some things that came up that just want to make sure they're okay with you guys. So since last year, we've been kind of going through the bills and stuff and trying to save some money, which we've eliminated some things and changed some things and saved some money. But one of them would be a switch from the waste management company, which charges us $630.18 a month, to Havener Waste Removal, which is run by ex-firefighters, at $95 a month.
Oh my. Are they
so,
bonded?
Sorry?
Are they licensed? licensed and bonded? Are they bonded? Do they have insurance?
I do not know that.
I would just make sure that they do. I mean, I would think they would, but let's just make sure. That's a great savings. I feel like Waste Management and Rumpke have the corner on the market.
Yeah, and they've taken the bill up, you know, every month it goes up. So that's a lot of savings, over $6,000. The other thing is we've been billed for these acetylene and oxygen tanks. The firefighters still need there, so this is nothing to do with them. This is for the road crew.
Are they welding?
Well, they don't use them often enough to warrant the charges.
Okay.
And so this is from them. You know, we asked them, and Kathy asked them. This would be a savings of $106.77 a month, or $1,281 a year.
Great.
And if they do need to weld something,
they can always fill it.
They can either rent something or you know, pay somebody. And also wanted to let you know that I argued with Cintas for about a year on the mats because we were not being billed correctly. Even to the day they left, they're still charging us for the wrong sizes and stuff. So we did get a check back for $100.02. It was $100, but then tax, I guess, or something was in there. $100 for mats that we didn't have, but we were being billed for over the last 3 years. And so that was interesting. And there were other ones that were the wrong sizes, but I finally just gave up. So what we did in the end was we purchased our own mats, which cost $432.47, and canceled the service, which was costing us $1,248 a year. Now,
Do you have a way to clean them?
Well, we vacuum them. I mean, the fire department vacuums them, and we can hose them off. And, you know, they're industrial, got them from Lowe's. And at that rate, we can buy new every few years and still be ahead of the game. And Cintas did give us the logo fire department mat. They're supposed to give us two of them. I argued for that, too, but I don't know what happened there. So, some savings. Okay, public comments on any topic?
Nope.
None? Okay, so the executive session. So Cody brought up some points right before the meeting. So the agenda isn't written this way, but what we're going to do is we're going to go into executive session for the appointment, employment, discipline, blah, blah, blah. And we're going to come out of that, and then we're going to do some actions, and then we're going to go back into executive session for both of the items. Because the attorney is available this evening. So that way we won't have everybody sitting around waiting. So if that's okay with you guys?
That's fine.
Okay. So what we need then is a motion to enter executive session for the purpose to consider the appointment of employment, discipline, or compensation of a public employee or official.
Okay. Motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. Any discussion? Okay, call the vote, please.
Trustee Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Van Haren?
Yep.
Trustee Reese?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. So we will go into executive session at 7:48, and when we come out, we may or may not take action, and then we will go back into executive session. So I'm going to pause the recording. Okay, we are back into regular session at 8:06 p.m. And do we want to do the resolution or no?
I'm fine with doing it, but I want that training.
Okay, well, I do too. I do too.
I'll stay on it.
Okay, so.
I'll stay on it. I'll make sure it's done.
Can you read the resolution?
Resolution number 25-06-052. A resolution appointing Jim Leskowich, alternate to the Bethel Township Board of Zoning Appeals for a term ending December 31st, 2030.
Okay, we need a motion and a second.
Motion.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I just do want to say here that I did his term ending 2030, which is 5.5 years, because we've already put two people on there. Two people on the BZA, right? And one on the zoning. ending in 2029.
Yes.
So you'd have nobody.
So to stagger it.
I don't think you can do that. I think it's a term of 5 years stated in the Ohio Revised Code. They're on rotating terms in subsequent years for 5 years.
Yeah, but ours is messed up. So
I know, but somehow
well then we can have it expire in the middle of, the only thing we can do then is have it expire in the middle of 2030, right? Because it'd be 25, 26, 27, 28, no, 29. Well, no, we let them go to the end of 29.
Yeah, end of 29.
29.
4.5
Yeah, so it would go to the middle of 2030. Would be 5 years exactly.
I would start putting everybody in December because then we all know like this.
Well, they always are in December. That's why I made this December, but of 2030.
Yeah, I don't.
Because it's.
They're five people. They're on five rolling terms, and you can.
But ours is all messed up.
I know.
Because
I know.
Things weren't done right when people got put in the
positions.
No, like when somebody left in the middle, the unexpired terms. I don't know. There's, and then also you have two alternates, so it's not going to be exactly every, you know,
well,
whenever
leave
you're
it.
Anyhow.
I mean,
so,
the only way it's going to happen is somebody challenges us. Which
this is ORC 519.13. The terms of all regular members shall be of such length and so arranged that the term of one member will expire each year. Each regular or alternate member shall serve until the member's successor is appointed and qualified.
Oh, doesn't it say 5 years?
It doesn't say 5 years.
All right.
So then you're good.
Okay. So we're back to term ending December 31st, 2030.
That's fine.
Okay, any other discussion?
No.
None.
Call vote, please.
Trustee Kamadip.
Yep.
Trustee Julie Reese.
Yes.
Trustee Beth Van Haren.
Yep.
Motion carries 3-0. Welcome to the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Thank you.
We have a book for you.
Some lovely party gifts.
Your mission is to read the book cover to cover.
Yeah.
We got to swear in, though.
Yes.
That would be. Can
I think one of you has.
I think it has to be elected.
I think it has to be elected.
Elected, yeah. Kemi, you want to do it?
Sure. I don't have a problem with it.
We need a paper.
Go right ahead.
She just needs a paper to follow.
I don't think you've done one yet.
I've done one before. It's fine.
I know,
go
but
right ahead.
Not this year, though.
And we need. Can you take a picture?
Today,
yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to move this so we can pull the flag out so it just looks.
Okay. Yeah, so you don't get all the corns in the picture like the other two?
It's Congress with all the other pictures we've got.
I don't have my jacket on.
We'll cut you out of the picture.
You want your jacket?
Just more, a little more professional. Been hot all darn day.
Where's the flag at?
Right there.
Okay, well, come on. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, this is good. Can we shut the door?
Oh, yeah, Beth, can you just shut that door? Thank you.
Sorry. She's going to put this in the thing, so that's why I'm
well,
doing this.
Well, I did cut you out of the other ones because there's not enough room to put all three pictures
okay.
in you. So.
Wonderful. Okay.
So maybe you should switch so he gets a better picture.
Okay. On this side?
That's how the other ones were.
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay. Raise your right hand. Okay, you're gonna repeat after me. I, Jim Leskowich. I'm sorry.
That's right. My official name is James Leskowich, so I don't know if you want James or not. It's legal name is James.
Having been appointed to the Bethel Township Board of Zoning Appeals for the term.
Having been appointed to the Bethel Township Board of Zoning Appeals for the term ending December 31st, 2030.
Okay, great. December 31st, 2030. Do hereby solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I shall first. Support the Constitution of the United States.
Support the Constitution of the United States.
And the state of Ohio.
And the state of Ohio.
Second, that I will not knowingly. Or willingly.
Violate any provision of the Ohio Revised Code.
And third.
And third.
That I shall faithfully.
That I shall faithfully.
Honestly.
Honestly.
And impartially.
And impartially.
Discharge the duties incumbent upon me.
Discharge the duties incumbent upon me.
As a member of this body according to the best of my ability.
As a member of this body according to the best of my ability and understanding.
Yes. And then you say your name.
James Leskowich.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks for
volunteering.
Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Welcome aboard, sir.
You know, I thought about that when I was writing.
What, let me get your contact information.
Sure.
Unless you want me to put you on the website, I thought about that when I was writing, though.
I don't know. That's legal. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Me, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I go by
kind of
so
fine.
Thank you.
937-974.
All right. On to the next thing.
07.
Okay, so put that back in the folder. Ronald will have to sign it.
JJ. LPS.
It's like somebody with like a belt.
Oh, man, almighty.
At gmail.com.
Wow.
I'll send you.
Okay, this
one's
Okay, so following this, then we're going to go back into executive session.
Okay.
Right, so this has got.
That's a BZA one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Should be the only ones that I left. Information, and then there's land use plan, land use code, and then table of contents, and this is what starts the actual resolution.
Okay.
I'll tap this section.
Okay.
If you have any questions, you can call Sheen now.
Did start to talk about what meeting? What happened?
Thursday, there's a meeting at,
so
yeah, there's meeting at 6:30, there's zoning commission at 7:30, and then we're going to have a joint meeting after the zoning commission.
Okay.
So, but I'll send an email. All right, thank you, Michelle. Thanks, sir.
Bye.
Thank
you. Right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Let me know about your son, too.
We'll do.
Yeah.
We'll
come up.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. So now we need a motion to go into executive session, which is necessary to protect the possible investment or expenditure of public funds to be made in connection with the economic development project. For the purpose to consult with an attorney regarding negotiations with other political subdivisions respecting requests for economic development assistance, and two, for the purpose to consider the appointment, employment, discipline, or compensation of a public employee or official. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
I'll second
that. Thank you.
You're standing from the AC.
I'm telling
second.
You what.
Any discussion?
I don't know what it is. Thank you, Cody.
Okay, time into the second executive session will be 8:15, and I'm going to pause the recording again, if it lets me. Okay, we are back in regular session from executive session number 2 at 9:03 p.m. No further action will be taken. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion. Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
No.
Okay, call the vote, please.
Trustee Cameron Dick?
Yep.
Trustee Julie Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Harry?
Yep.
Okay, motion carries 3-0. Adjournment time of 9:03.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay.